to read a little bit out of Proverbs this evening. But first, I often think of how important it is that we put ourselves completely in the hands of the Lord, and that we make ourselves subject to Him, and that we seek only to do His will and His ways. As it's always been said, there's a lot of ways to do things wrong, but there's only one way to do things right. And the Lord has made it possible that we can seek Him, and if we can turn to Him in the time of need, and He'll direct us for good. I want to begin in the 6th chapter of Proverbs, and the 16th verse. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are abomination unto Him. And this is the ones that they are: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakenest, it shall talk with thee. And how might we say that it might talk with us? We know that if we keep these commandments, it's going to lead us and direct us. And it's going to watch over us. But I think probably the way it will talk to us is through our conscience. Of course, we know we can have visions and revelations and so on. But if we sear our conscience, these others aren't going to take place. And our conscience is something that is very important to keep quite enough pretty good. We have got to be aware in our own minds when we're doing something wrong, and that our conscience is going to tell us. And I want to drop over here now. I'm going to come back to these in a few minutes, but I want to go over here into the 7th chapter and read the first 3 verses. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as an apple in thy eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tablets, on the table of thine heart. As we read through Proverbs, this type of thinking goes all the way through it. It tells us that we're to keep the commandments of the Lord, to take heed unto our parents, and to take heed to the Scriptures. I want to go over here now in the 8th chapter and read the last few verses, beginning with 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at the gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain forever of the Lord, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Up there in the 32nd verse, it says, heareth instructions, and be wise. If we heed the things that are right, it's going to make us wise, isn't it? and refuse it not. I think that we do find that quite a few people that discover that they know which way to go, but they don't follow that way. So they refuse the ways that they have found that they should go. And this is awful easy to do if you allow yourself to be tempted. But if we take heed to our own conscience daily and watch after it, that it doesn't become seared, we're going to know where to turn away from the things that aren't good and where to follow the things that are. Now I want to go back here to that sixth chapter again and just go over a few of these things. Now he says, these are the things that the Lord hates. A proud look. All right, then what is he telling us? He doesn't like people that are proud. So what would we need to be then? Well, everyone knows that a person should be humble if we're not proud. I happen to be looking through the magazine section of the Sentinel today, and I believe it said a proud cigarette. I can't hardly believe such a thing would exist. And for a proud nation or something like this. I just seen the advertisement, and it just come to my mind that I couldn't believe that they put a proud cigarette, make a proud cigarette. I don't know how they do that. And I don't think they could ever make a humble one, for sure. But here the Lord, it's obvious that he doesn't like someone that's lifted up in pride. So he must desire to have people to be humble, and we know this is the truth. And he doesn't like a lying tongue. So therefore, he intends for us to tell the truth, doesn't he? And hands that shed innocent blood. He doesn't like a murderer, does he? So therefore, we shouldn't murder. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I don't know just what this would include, but I would judge that some of the magazines that we have before us that we could purchase would be written by people of this type. But wicked imaginations, things that aren't good, feet that are swift in running to mischief. So therefore, we should stay out of mischief, shouldn't we? And how can we stay out of mischief? Just to keep the commandments of the Lord. But to begin with, we have got to avoid those places where that there might be mischief that would be displeasing before the Lord. I don't think anybody here has much trouble getting into or staying out of trouble at places like, I forget these places, the Pretzel or something out here on North 12th that we read about in the paper all the time. I don't think that anyone here has any trouble staying out of mischief there, do we? But you know, quite a few people that go there get in mischief. And quite a few people that are there really aren't there to really be in mischief. They went out there because there's a lot of other people, and they're there, and consequently, sometimes they may be arrested and taken to the police station to find out what's happened. And this goes for all ages. You can go to a bar, and you find the same thing. Some people might be in there fairly innocently. They might even be eating in there. And they could be drawn into something that isn't too pleasant. But if we don't patronize those places, if we don't go near them, we're not going to be bothered by this thing. But above all, let's not run to those places to seek mischief. And we know that there's many people that go to a lot of places that do a lot of things to seek mischief. I don't think anyone here has ever had any problems with any woodsies and being found in mischief, because we haven't been there. But we know some people that has participated in these things. Some of them have been killed in automobile wrecks. Some of them had fights and have been hurt, and a lot of things. If they hadn't been seeking a bit of mischief, they could have avoided this thing very easily. A false witness that speaketh lies. Now, I don't know how we can much separate that from the second one up here, a lying tongue. But he brought this in a second time here on lies, a false witness that speaketh lies. We shouldn't bear false witness against anyone, should we? And another thing that can happen most easily of all, I think, is he that soweth discord among his brethren. Now that one is the one that could probably come closest to the people around about us. There is some people that have a tendency to sow discord. I don't believe we have a great deal of it here, but we have seen it. And we have seen this especially among people that we associate with. And this is one thing we can't keep away from very much. I mean, it might be around us and we can't help it, but we don't have to participate in it. Of course, he tells, goes on here in this 20th verse, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, if you have righteous parents, or if we seek after the Lord and we keep those commandments, we're not going to fall into any of these seven things that he dislikes. And we're going to be able to walk uprightly before the Lord, and we're going to be able to have him to be our guide and our director in whatever we do. I want to go over into Mosiah for a few verses in the first chapter of Mosiah. And the 70th verse. This is on page 214. And this is King Benjamin speaking to him. But Mosiah, I believe, speaking to his son. It would be actually King Benjamin's grandson, I guess. "And now, my brethren, I would that ye should do as I have hitherto done." Now, to really realize what he's done, we need to read quite a few pages, and to get his background and the way he lived and the way he ruled his people when he was king and what he done that was righteous before the people. But he tells these people to live as he had lived, or to do as he had done. "As ye have kept my commandments," now that's the commandments that Mosiah gave unto his people, "and also the commandments of my father, and have prospered, and have been kept from falling into the hands of your enemies, even so shall ye keep the commandments of my son, or the commandments of God." Now here I think it sorts everything out that he was preaching about or telling about the word of God. Now his father and he had told the people to keep the commandments and to live after the ways of the Lord. If we had just stopped up here and said, as ye have kept my commandments and also the commandments of my father and have prospered and have been kept from falling into the hands of your enemies, even so, if you keep the commandments of my son. Now, if you stop right there, we wouldn't have much to go on, would we? But we find out what he was talking about was the commandments of God. They had preached the word unto these people, the word of God, and had expected them to keep the commandments, and they had done. "For the commandments of God," that's what he's talking about, "which shall be delivered unto you by him, ye shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall have no power over you." Now back here in Proverbs, it told us what we used to do, or what we wasn't to do, and we can sort it out pretty soon and see what we are to do. And our enemies, if we do these things, won't even have power over us. "But O my people, beware lest there shall arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit, which was spoken of by my father Mosiah. For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. For if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, this same drink of damnation unto his own soul. For he receiveth of his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. Now, it's a sure thing we have that knowledge, so we don't dare less to obey that evil spirit. And when we feel our conscience telling us that we're going astray, we better turn back pretty quick, and we better seek after the ways of righteousness. And it's a shame that the people of the world that are righteous can't be gathered into one body and do not have to contend with the corruption of the world. But it wasn't set up that way at this time. No doubt someday there will be a place where we can, the saints of the Lord can withdraw and not be a part of the world. But on the other hand, if we were all in one small group, it would be difficult to reach outsiders too, and to take the gospel to them. So the thing that behooves us is to seek the ways of the Lord and to forsake the temptation to the devil. And it's not easy to always to do this. But the important thing is that we try to put our whole lives into the hands of the Lord and become his subjects continually. I think have all read a little bit possibly on alcoholism and maybe smoking and several other things, and we know that people that desire to withdraw from these things and to quit, when they start, they don't try to quit for a whole eternity at once. They try to quit for 1 minute or 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 1 hour. But first thing you know, these added together do make a lifetime. The same way that we can be righteous and overcome a sinful temptation to come before us. We can't do them all at once. We can't do it our entire life at one time, but we can minute by minute. And I'm sure that every one of us have been in places where that we were made very angry all at once. And sometimes it's hard to keep your, as the young people might say, keep your cool. Sometimes we get a little upset. But if we can overcome these things, it's going to give us more strength. And this is one thing that bothers me probably as much as anything. When I know something's going wrong, especially where I work, I like to straighten it out right now. And sometimes this isn't the thing to do. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. And sometimes you have to put up with a lot of things if you don't really want to. And maybe this tempers us just a bit for other temptations that might come before us. I want to read some out of Matthew over here in the 25th chapter. And this is a very familiar reading with anyone that has read Matthew very much. I'm going to read out of the 25th chapter there about the 10 virgins. And this always gives us something really to think about. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now we notice there was 10 of them, and 10 of them was going forth. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now we know you could liken this unto an automobile. If you took the car and didn't take any gas, then you sure wouldn't want to go any place with it. But here they had lamps. This was something that those people could understand. And part of them had lamps with fuel in them that they could light. And the others had none. But the wise took oil in their lamp, in their vessels, with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now this one verse here that should really concern all the people that seek after the Lord. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now if we're likening this under the second coming of Christ, which I'm sure it is, it tells us that all of us slumbered and slept some. There was some that was wiser, as we will find out, and were able to, you might say, draw themselves together and prepare themselves and to go into the feast. But all of them slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Now is the time we're going to go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." Now apparently all of them had some oil, but they didn't have a refill for it. They weren't able to continue on. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Which therefore, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, these things is mentioned over the Proverbs and other places in the scripture that tells us to follow after the ways of the Lord and forsake the things of the world. They tell us this so many times because they want us to remember. And in many places they tell us that we do not know what hour this is going to be. But whether we know the hour of the coming of the Lord wouldn't make much difference for most people, because most of the people will have already passed away many years before the Lord comes. And they will have already had to have passed this very test, whether they had oil in their lamps or whether they didn't. Whether they had let their conscience, a godly conscience, guide them, and if they had followed after it. And there's several ways, of course, that we can tell whether we're living a good life. We can make our own yardstick for these things. To begin with, we can ask ourselves, if the Lord was here, would he be with us and doing the same thing we're doing? And another thing that the younger people, and I think probably us older ones too, would we be happy to see our parents, or have our parents see what we were doing? Just our parents, let alone God. We know God sees us all the time. But I wonder how many of us there's been that have done something that we was real glad that our parents weren't there to see. I doubt that there's any of us that haven't done something like that. Some of us got by with it pretty good and didn't get caught, whatever it might have been. But in our own hearts, we already knew that we had done what was wrong. And this is the thing we've got to do in our own hearts, is to make sure that what we're doing is right with God and right with ourselves. But as these 10 virgins were preparing, they knew that this thing was coming. Part of them, I guess the way it reads it, they all had some oil, but they didn't have enough to last. And they were advised to go buy some more, and at this hour they couldn't even get it. The same way as when we pass from this life, we haven't got time to make a repentance of our whole life. Or most people won't anyway. I want to go back into Proverbs again and read another one of the Proverbs, the 15th chapter, want to begin with the first verse in the 15th chapter. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up to anger. And if you have happened to have read or have read any books that some great authors might have written, one that I can think of would be Dale Carnegie, that has written several books. And this is one of the themes that he uses so often. And he quotes a lot of scripture to back up what he says. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. Did you ever come upon somebody that just ready to explode all over everything, and you were real nice, and all of a sudden they toned right down and they were nice too? But what they wanted was to find somebody to jump on and to some way to vent their anger. But if you give a soft answer, a lot of times they'll calm right down. Whereas if you would have said something very harsh, they would have really been stirred up right now. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And how often we can see this. We see some people seeking for laws in our government. And when we hear them talking, it doesn't take us long to figure out that they are being led by the evil spirit. And I hate to call anyone a fool, but I believe that they would have to be fall into this category. For the mouths of fools poureth out foolishness. And we see some of the laws that are being brought about today. I even forget the letters of it. It's the, I guess they call it equal rights for women. I forget just the letters they use for that. But we can see that some people have had to be quite foolish to try to bring all the things about that they're trying to do. It's not that women shouldn't have equal rights with everyone else. Children or men or anybody should have equal rights. But some of the things that will come about because of these laws, if they are brought into effect, would have serious effect upon the families of the United States. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And this is something we know, that the eyes of God or Christ are every place. And if we can hide from the laws of the land, we surely can't hide from Christ. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In other words, here sometimes it tells us that we should take heed to someone that's telling us what we should do and how we should do it. This is the way we learn, is taking heed to what other people tell us and listening to what other people say. I have seen several times in my work, I'm sure Johnny has, and Dad, and Hardy, and Dave, and anyone that has worked on a job, you can take a book and you can read pretty well what it tells you to do. But some of the old timers can take and show you in 5 minutes what it would take you a month to learn. Through experience, because they know and they can tell you. The same way is if we seek after the Lord and we seek after righteousness, that we can find out things by the Lord, making them known unto us in a few minutes, which we could never find out through just study. In the house of righteousness is much treasure. revenues of the weight is trouble. And I think that is where we find ourselves in the world today. We have a troubled time which is very, very serious. We find throughout the whole world that there's great problems and trials and tribulations. Even though we ourselves are not involved in the great war right now, we can read of little civil wars and revolutions all over the world. And there's very few people that really think there's peace. When we hear the news broadcasts and it tells of the Egyptian president being here, the first time, I guess, in history for one of them to come over here and visit our president, it seems that we might be making great strides, and I hope that we are. But when we hear him speak before the assemblies, the things that he says, it really don't add up, that he really has his trust in this whole thing either. That he knows there's a great trouble time ahead. And as we read in the newspapers of the different little civil wars, that any one of them could turn into a full-scale war overnight. We hope and pray that they don't. But as long as we have wicked people directing and leading most of the governments in the world, we're not going to have peace. But if we go back to these different verses that advises us to take to heed the commandments of our fathers and our mothers, and if they're righteous, they're going to be the commandments of the Lord, is what it amounts to. Many of these problems are going to disappear. And the Lord is going to give us strength to stand up under any problems that we have. But without his guidance and without us seeking him daily and without our conscience guiding us and guiding the world, there's a certain thing that there could be destruction. But those that seek after the Lord and do his will are going to be blessed and protected.